Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, that last verse always kind of gets to me, since I remember a lot of my friends who passed in the faith, and we sang that song at their funeral. Jennifer Elmore from First Lutheran remembered. Lots of people who sang. Will Abraham, we sang that at his funeral from our church a number of years ago. Couldn't remember those people. Those saints have gone before us. My son Jonathan, yesterday at breakfast, asked me a riddle. He says, "What is always coming, but never arrives?" And his answer? Tomorrow. Today is All Saints' Day, and it's our day in the church to remember the currently unreachable tomorrow. A day that is always coming, but never seemingly arrives. As some say, we are stuck in the present. We must pass through election day. We must endure losses and gains. As Christians, our hope in the future is not defined by advancing technology or new majorities in the House and the Senate or new solutions to the old problems, which then in turn become new problems of their own. Our hope in the future is defined by Christ. Christ in the past, Christ in the present, and Christ in the future, just as we heard today in our readings. Looking to the past, we see Christ appearing for the first time to usher in a new era, to assure the world of a new and better future for them. He came as a child and fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He came to turn the tables, and he even did that literally, but he turned the tables on sickness, on demons, on the devil, and on death. He came teaching of things to come, his upcoming death and resurrection. He prophesied about it three times. His return at the end of time to fulfill all things, that which we await for, the last and great day. He taught the future judgment of the world at the cross, at the crossroads, the division of belief and unbelief, heaven or hell, life eternal or the second death to come. Looking to the present, we see Christ present for us in word and sacrament now, hidden from our eyes, but we hear it, detect it, perceive it by faith and word and sacrament. Christ is present. What did he say? "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." Or as we hear from the altar, Jesus say, "This is my body given for you. This is the blood of the New Testament shed for you." As we say in our catechism, Jesus is present truly in, with, and under the bread and the wine given to us at the feast. In our epistle today, we heard how the present is wrapped up in the future. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us," said St. John, "that we should be called children of God, and so we are present right now, children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared," future. "But we know that when he appears," future, "we shall be like him," that is, like Jesus, "crucified and risen, glorified, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." That is, our future is defined by Christ because of what he's already done and what he will do in the future. Looking to the future is a journey on All Saints' Day into the book that we heard read, the book of Revelation, or the Apocalypse Christus Jesu, the revelation of Christ Jesus to John on the island of Patmos. We're studying it on Sunday mornings in Bible class. Chapter 7, of all places, is the reading today. And if you've been in Bible study, you know how many times 7 reappears in the book of Revelation. 7 this, 7 that, 7, 7. And today we're in chapter 7 on All Saints' Day. How appropriate. What we see through John's eyes in chapter 7 is the number of the sealed, 144,000. It's a multiple of 7. 7 times 7 times a big number, 1,000. That's what the 144,000 is all about. 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, those who remain faithful, that is. There's some modifications. If you went back to Genesis and to the book of Numbers, you see it's rearranged. Those who are faithful all the way to the end, that's the ones appearing in the book of Revelation. You need to compare those and see. And they put Judah first because that's the tribe from which Jesus came from. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah. 12,000. A great orderly God we have to have exactly 12,000 from each tribe. But then after that you hear, and behold, after that I looked, and behold, a great number that no one could number. A great multitude. That is, that was just a symbolic thing of God's orderly completeness of those who are now in heaven. A great multitude no one could number. So don't worry if you're not one of the 144,000. You are, by faith in Jesus. You're one of the great multitude that no one could number. And so are our loved ones. And we hear the heavenly worship, the song that they sing. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb, they sing. And then they focus on the thing that we want to focus on today, don't they? The saints. Who are these? And the elder says, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. The ones who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These saints had a past like ours. That is, they had this great tribulation that they came out of. That defines the church today. The great tribulation. Church in past, even the days of the Genesis, they had tribulation too. All the way back from the very beginning, the devil was there. Wherever the devil is, there's tribulation. There's temptation. There's trials. All the world from beginning to end has endured this. This is the time of the church, if you will. The church militant. The great tribulation. And these saints in heavens are the one who came out of this world and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They fought the good fight of faith. And it wasn't easy. They too were stuck in the present. They had to pass through election days. They endured losses and gains. All the while, many like them left the faith. Remember in John 6:66, we heard recently what happened? John chapter 6, verse 66. And many no longer walked with Jesus, it says. That's the great apostasy, if you will. Many who believed turn away and say no more. And ironically, this is still the same today for us. John 6:66, isn't it? Many no longer walk in the faith in Jesus. Just our remnant in America. Some places it's growing in the world, but it's dwindling here. And it probably will dwindle all the way to the end, unfortunately. The other disciples who look on see this abandonment of Jesus. The persecution of Christians here throughout the world, throughout time, it happened, sometimes worse than others. It's still happening today. What are we supposed to do, they ask. And St. John, as God's messenger in Revelation chapter 7, gives this heavenly glimpse, just a brief moment. Look at the saints there. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is, they kept the faith in Jesus as their substitute in death. He who conquered death for them, they kept the faith. And they loved their neighbor because of this. And they kept God's commandments because of this, even needing forgiveness through that same blood, because we fail at doing that daily and richly. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Hunger? No more. Thirst? No more. Sun? No longer striking them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb in their midst will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Look at these saints. How are they doing now? How does the future look now? Is your hope in the future their hope? That is Christ, past, present, future? Or is your hope in the future just a mere band-aid on the present? Just something to get you by into the next week, the next day, the next election cycle? A band-aid that ultimately has to get ripped off at the last second to reveal the mortal wound of sin that goes very, very deep. And there's no accounting for it. Or is there hope in Christ? Past, present, and future. The victory in his wounds. The great tribulation he endured on behalf of his beloved, those who he calls his friends, the children of God through faith in their baptism, those who have been washed, cleansed from every spot and stain. The blessed saints in Revelation who are washed by faith in the blood of the Lamb. Because of what we see here, we can say the future is bright. And Christ's future is blessed. And our loved ones who died in the faith live on in tomorrow. This tomorrow is not just always coming but never arrives, a logical problem that's confined to time. Tomorrow is where Christ is found. And with him, the saints, his disciples, his baptized. Tomorrow with Christ is wrapped up with us even now. The saints we heard in Revelation 2 were worshiping as we do, and they join with us in the worship of the Lamb. What we celebrate now is a celebration of the already and the not yet, the consummation. Because of Christ's past and present for us, we participate in Christ's future. Or let me recast my son's riddle this way. What is always coming is now and will be forever. The answer? Christ. For God's time is not our time until Christ comes to bring his past and future into our present eternal. What about the saints on earth versus the saints in heaven? Are they in a galaxy far, far away? No. Wrong question. Wrong story. Here's our story. We sang it. O blessed communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in this faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.